Amen. Amen. Get your Bible, turn to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. And I am so happy to see y'all. And I am so happy to see every one of you. I'm looking forward to seeing that other crowd come in today. And Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. You know, this week I was trying to... Is this working okay? This week I was trying... Billy, can you hear this? Huh? Amen. Amen. That's the first time I've heard him be silent. But listen, this week I was in here and I was reading these things about recommendations. The state didn't give us any, you know, you got to do this. It's recommendations to make people feel safer, and they say it works too. So I was opening these windows and I thought of that old song. Tony Green used to sing this song a lot. I was thinking it was in one of our song books, but I want you to find it, The Windows of Heaven. And it was originally an old black hymn that they would sing out in the cotton fields when they would work. It says, "The windows of heaven are open, the fire is falling tonight. I've got joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old dirty garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. And now I'm feasting on manna from heaven. And that's why I'm happy tonight." Amen. And that's a song. There's more to it. That's just all I can remember. But anyway, somebody looked that song up. So I got thinking about that while I was opening these windows. And I said, well, I'm going to look up in the Bible windows. When heaven opened windows. So Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 1 and 3, I want you to look at those. And you read the whole story, it's pretty complicated prophecy type thing. But it says in verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened. And I saw visions of God." And in verse 3, he says, "The word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river of Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him." God opened heaven and let the prophet of God get a glimpse of heaven.
Amen.
And God showed him visions. And you can read the visions in that chapter. But today my main topic was going to be when the windows opened.
Amen.
When the windows opened. And I got, the Lord's been good to me. I get down here by myself and there ain't no distraction, you know, having to tell people what to do and don't do that and do this and don't do that. And this is what the Lord gave me, okay?
Amen.
All right. We're opening the church again. We're going to do that maybe this like this about 3 weeks. And but why? Why do you open? Why do you even need a church? A lot of people now are saying, "Well, we've got church online so much now, we don't even need to go to church." Well, we do it for fellowship. We do it for communion. We have church for teaching and preaching. And just to love one another and see one another and have that brotherly, sisterly type relationship. And I love to do that. But we also get here to praise and to worship and to learn and to pray and to grow and to go to work for God. That's what the local church is for. That's why we attend church. See, you wouldn't do a lot of those things if you sat at home all the time. Matter of fact, you'd get where you're doing nothing at all. We need each other. We need to get together. And but the real reason we attend church is because we want to see the windows of heaven open. We want to hear from God. We want to know what God said. Open up, Lord. Pour something out on us. You know, I'm not one of those people that go to church and I'm kind of timid, hoping that the preacher don't call on me or that I don't have to sing a hymn or something. I go looking for something. When I go to church, I'm looking for God to speak to me. I'm looking to God. This crowd from Chester behind me, that's dangerous. I'm looking for God to open up the windows of heaven and speak to me. I want to hear old-fashioned barrel-chested man preacher get up and cry loud, spare not, lift up, hey, point out and point his big old fat finger right at me and say, thou art the man and you need to get this right and I'm talking to you. And we can't have that. I know God can talk to you by yourself, but there's something about getting together, assembling together. That's why he said, forsake not the assembling ourselves together. We feed off of one another. We feed off of one another's spirits. And God, the Holy Ghost, meets with us. You say, well, I carry him wherever I go, wherever two or three gather together. But see, here's the point. I carry him and you carry him. And when we all get together, he can come in full power and he can open up the windows of heaven and speak to us. So real quick, I got 20 minutes to preach a 45-minute sermon. You know that. And Genesis chapter 7, verse 11. I want to show you another time. Genesis 7, verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life. Good gracious alive. I'm 66. I think I'm about dead. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up. Talking about the great flood. And look at this. And the windows of heaven we're open.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You say, well, preacher, that's talking about rain. Well, I'd say it does in the context, but we can apply that spiritually to say God was communicating.
Yes.
That rain was God speaking. I'm tired of this mess. I'm not putting up with it anymore. I'm going to open up the fountains of the deep. And if you don't know anything about the ocean, there's water spouts in the bottom of the deepest parts of the ocean that keeps that ocean running. Don't you worry about running out of water. You're drinking the same water Noah drank.
Yes.
It's just reprocessed over and over and over, and it goes down and comes back up. But heaven had never opened and dropped water before. There was just a mist there that watered everything. And so that day God opened heaven and flooded the earth, and he was speaking from heaven. He opened the windows of heaven, and he spoke to this old wicked world. He said, I'm tired of it. I'm fed up with it. Judgment is going to fall. I'm flooding. Everybody's dying except for Noah and his family, because he's found grace in my eyes. Undeserved love, that means. And people say, well, that's not the God I know. It's the only God there is. And so the windows of heaven were open because sin had did that. Let me tell you something. As much as prayer will open up a window in heaven, sin will too.
Wow.
Everything's made by God. Everything's created by God. Everything's sustained by God. Nothing comes through this earth that didn't come through God first. God opens windows of heaven. Whether it's floods or plagues or pestilence or fires or tornadoes or wind or hurricanes, whatever it is, drought, every bit of that came because God opened the window in heaven and said, this is judgment, and I'm about to drop it down on everyone. You're listening real good. Amen. Malachi 3:10. I'm talking about windows opening up in heaven. I said the first one was because of sin. God opened a window in heaven and poured out his wrath. Number two, in Malachi 3:10, a lot of y'all read this already, and sometimes you get convicted about it. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be enough room to receive it. Not only did God open the windows of heaven because of sin, but he opened the windows of heaven because of the faithfulness of God's people. God's people. Some people say, well, I don't see how those people make it. They say they're Christians. They live on barely nothing. Let me tell you something. Whenever God wants to take care of you, he'll open a window in heaven and pour you out what you need.
Right.
He said, I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor their children begging. No, sir. Faithfulness will open a window in heaven that God will take care of you.
Yes.
Now you turn that around. Unfaithfulness will close the windows of heaven.
Yes.
And that's what he's telling them here. He said, now you take care of my house, I'll take care of you.
Amen.
Boy, you wouldn't believe the churches around this country that barely exist because of unfaithful, stingy church members who don't even want to pay the light bill.
Yeah.
And they complain about everything. and spend it on this, spend on that. And I told you that story one time. This country church had a big business meeting one night. They heard they was going to spend a bunch of money, and somebody had suggested buying chandeliers. Chandeliers. They wanted to upgrade, make it look better. And so they had a big meeting, and everybody said their position. Everybody was for it. And this one old guy, he was against everything. He was against buying toilet paper. It didn't matter what it was. If they voted, his vote was always no. He always had an argument. He always had a reason. So it come time, everybody spoke. So he stood up and he said, Pastor, I want you to know I'm against it. I'm against it. I don't think we'll do it. We'll not be wasting money on these there chandelier things. He said, besides that, I don't think we got nobody in this church knows how to play one. I guarantee you that fellow lived on he lived on crackers and water. Amen. Look, you be faithful to God. You be faithful to God's work. God will open a window in heaven and take care of you. I got to hurry. There's so much more I can say on that, and you'll be glad I don't. But by the way, he did it once, he'll do it again.
Yes, he will.
He did it once, he'll do it again. In Luke 3:21, I'm going fast, I know, but I'm getting somewhere. Luke 3:21 and 22. Somebody said they liked me better on Facebook. I preach faster and didn't tell so many stories. Luke 3:21-22. Did you know that he opened, now in the New Testament, it says, now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus, also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven, which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Did you know that God opens heaven sometimes to reveal his Holy Ghost?
Amen.
The Spirit, the powerful, the wonderful, the mighty Holy Ghost of God. God. Now, he's not an it, he's a he.
Right.
Amen. He's one of the Godhead. Now you listen to me. We don't see that manifestation all the time. But every once in a while, God's Holy Spirit, God open up heaven, and the Holy Spirit of God to come down in all His power, in all His glory, to do a work.
Amen.
To do a work. Now, when you got saved, yes, He moved into you. Yes, He moved into you. But you don't, He doesn't reveal Himself completely to you. But He did that day. He revealed to everybody, all these people's getting saved and getting baptized, you know, they're repenting of their sins, getting baptized. Jesus said he had to do it in order to fulfill the law. He came to fulfill the law, not destroy the law.
Right.
And he got baptized, and then God himself made himself into the form of a dove. The Holy Ghost came down on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Look, to show his power and his presence on this man called Jesus. Now let me tell you something. Every time a sinner gets convicted of their sins, God the Holy Ghost comes down from heaven and tugs at your heart and convicts you of your sin and calls you by His grace. That's heaven opening to convict the sinner of their sin. Thank God one day He convicted me of my sins and said, you're a dirty rotten sinner, you need to get saved. I didn't like that. I didn't like that. It scared me. I grew up with some bad people. I mean mean people. They'd be on your list if you grew up in Lancaster when I did. And I tell people, they'll say, you know so-and-so down there in Lancaster? I say, are they good people? They'll say, yeah. I say, they go to church? And then they'll say, yeah. I say, I don't know them. Everybody I knew came under three L's. In jail, out on bail, already in hell. I didn't know any good people in Lancaster. And that day that God, the Holy Ghost, come down on me, that scared me worse than any of those people ever did. God opened heaven to convict you of your sins. Look, the preacher don't convict you. That's the Holy Ghost.
Right.
The preacher didn't wake you up last night under conviction that you need to be saved. That's the Holy Ghost does that. And God opens heaven. And look, you ought to be honored that He would come down in your little old life and convict you of all people and call you to be saved. And then that day you got saved, the Holy Ghost come down. He didn't just convict you And once you prayed and asked God to forgive you of your sins, receive Jesus as your Savior, He converted you. He changed you from one thing to another, from a sinner to a saint. Amen? He gave you a new mind, new heart, new spirit, wrote your name down in heaven, a new name, you don't even know what it is. And God opened heaven and His Holy Ghost come down to do that just for you, just for you. And nobody else in that room might have felt it. Everybody else thought it was nothing, but to you, God had opened heaven. Amen? And then, boy, every once in a while, we'll be in one of them old-fashioned barnstorming, window shingling, window pulling shingle, I can't even say it now, shingle pulling, window rattling, church services, and God, the Holy Ghost, will come down and move on everybody at one time. And people will be weeping and crying and people will be laughing and joyous and people will be coming to the altar and others will be going to their family members, apologizing, hugging necks. Can y'all hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's when God opens heaven and the Holy Ghost comes down on a whole crowd of people.
Yes.
I've been there, boy. I've been in some of those services. Hey, they'd have scared the Pope. Amen. He'd have got saved if he'd been in that service. Amen. Might be today. Amen. Let's get him on Facebook Live, Pope. You need to get no hope in the Pope. Need to get saved. God, the Holy Ghost, come down. Amen. Heaven open. God Himself. Come down. You ain't listening fast enough. Acts 7. Acts chapter 7. Boy, y'all going to come to the early service every time, ain't you? Acts chapter 7, you'll be out of here in time not to go get dinner, but cook it too. Did I say something wrong? Cooking. That's kind of like that word work. Amen, amen. What are you complaining? Holroyd cooks at your house, don't he? Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, he lied to me. Look at verse 55. But when he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing, not sitting, standing on the right hand of God. Now, listen to this. I got to think about this. The heavens was open, and did you know the only reason that heaven opened that day was so that one man could see the risen Savior. One man. One faithful deacon. One faithful man in all that crowd. The rest of them was against him. One faithful man in that whole crowd, and God let him see the Son of God. God opened glory for one man and let him see his next destination with the Son of God. He gave his life that day for the Savior. Sometimes people say to me, they'll say, preacher, I've never had experiences like that. Could it be because you live selfishly and self-centered? I'm going to tell you something. If you go seeking this, you're not going to find it. You know how he found it? Being a testimony and a witness for Jesus Christ, knowing he'd probably lose everything, including his own life. Y'all listening? Amen. Don't bother him. He's learned how to shout. Listen, that might be your next preacher. I don't know if I live that long, though, but I'm going to try. All right, listen. God revealed the risen Savior to one man. Listen to this now. Listen, I'm about through. Listen. The day you got saved, if you really got born again, you may not have seen it with your physical eyes, but God revealed the risen Savior to you that day.
Amen.
I didn't see him, but I knew he was there.
Amen.
Whew, I get chill bumps thinking about it. Amen. I didn't see him, but I knew he was there.
Amen.
And the preacher read Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him. And I open my door and he opened his door. And I got a glimpse of the risen Savior in my heart, in my soul. And I received him that day as my Savior because I got a glimpse of who he really was. He was now more than words on the page. He was now more than a history lesson. He was the risen Savior. And listen, I'd have walked up there through fire. I'd have walked up there through machine guns and swords, man. I'd have walked up there. You couldn't have stopped me. I'd done been stopped for 3 years. Every time I thought about going up there, I backed out because of what I thought other people would do, what I thought other people would say. But that day, I didn't care what you thought. If you wanted to stone me to death, you'd have to do it on the way to the Savior because I got a glimpse of the Savior that day. Heaven opened for me that day. Boy, I come out of that room, I was just... I couldn't explain it. Little old boy didn't grow up in church. 20-something years old, didn't grow up in church. Didn't know nothing about the Bible. Didn't know nothing about God. But that day I knew God was real because deep down in my soul, He revealed the risen Savior to me. Man, God opened heaven. I hope He's opened heaven for you. You might have been 5 or 6. You might have been 10 or 12. I wouldn't say you was 5 or 6. And I don't know how old you was when you got saved, but for some reason, you came to the Savior. The only reason I see in the Bible is if He drew you. He said, no man comes to the Father except the Spirit draw him. And if He drew you, that means you got a glimpse of who He really was deep down in your heart and your soul. I wouldn't have left that place without getting saved that day. And by the way, I got a glimpse of Him in the pew through the preaching.
Amen. Yes.
And feeling the power of the convicting Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And then I came forward and I received Him.
Amen.
The Son of Glory.
Praise the Lord.
I hope heaven's open for you. If it happened today, it would be a good day.
Amen.
It's opening right now. I can see it. By faith, I see it's opening. And it says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. That's heaven opening.
Amen.
And then last but not least, Revelation chapter 4. Y'all be proud of me. I'm just about done. Revelation chapter 4. I want you to look at verse 1. And then put your finger there. And then Revelation 19:11. Revelation 4:1. Revelation 19:11. Ain't you glad you come to church today?
Amen.
Boy, I am. I get more out of preaching this than you do getting it. Amen. It ain't as good preaching to myself with a pencil and piece of paper as it is standing up here and preaching myself. Amen. Revelation 4:1. Look at it. In Revelation 4:1, after this I looked and behold a door was open in heaven. And the first voice I heard was that, as it were of a trumpet talking with me. Which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. That's the Apostle John, that God has allowed him to go into heaven. The doors open, and God let him go in and get a glimpse. And then in Revelation 19, verse 11. Revelation 19, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True.
Amen.
And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Now, listen, that's a door open. And then that's the sky open, not just a window. You know what this is? The name of the book is Revelation.
Amen.
It's a full revealing of heaven.
Yes.
See, right now, listen. He said we see through a glass darkly. But one day we're going to see face to face.
Right.
Right now, it's like looking out there. I can see the top of air conditioning unit. But if I go out there and out there, I'm going to see it all.
Yeah.
And right now, I get a little glimpse of heaven. God will open up a window every once in a while and let me see something that I need to see. I went to the cemetery the other day for my mama for Mother's Day, and I sat there, me and my wife fixed flowers, you know, and I walked around there and I thought about it. And I got a little glimpse of my mama in glory in that great cloud of witnesses.
Amen.
But one day I'm going to see it all.
Yes,
a door's not going to be open. A window's not going to be open. All of glory is going to be opened. And he's coming back to judge this old wicked, vile, corrupt world. And he's going to judge it and make war and destroy those wicked, ungodly people that tempt us and torment us and test us. And Jesus himself's coming. He's not sending just the Holy Ghost this time. He's not just sending a preacher or a prophet. He's not just writing a book. He's coming back riding that white horse and with a sword on his side and a sash that says King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and all of heaven's going to open. And boy, that's the day I'm looking for. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Amen. I'm glad the church is open. I'm glad the church is open. Still worried a little bit about my back, but I'm glad the church is open. Amen. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a bigger opening than this coming. There's a bigger opening than this is coming. Amen. And the COVID-19 can't get in. And cancer can't get in. And the flu can't get in. And people moving to Georgia can't get in. And God's going to reveal himself in all his glory and all his splendor. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to fall on our face. Like the Bible said. And we're going to worship him as dead men. And then we're going to turn our hands like this. And we're going to say, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Thank you for letting me get a glimpse, Lord. Now if you're not saved today, the window's open. He's knocking at your door. And he's giving you a little glimpse today of what you could have if you just ask him. Receive him as your Savior. The window's open and God's going to take care of you if you're faithful. He's faithful to you. He showed you that. But I got news for you. One day all of it's going to open. If you're not saved, I feel sorry for you. See, I'm already stamped right there. Go read Revelation. He stamped us in our forehead. Amen. We have his mark. You can't see it, but God sees it.
Yes.
And just like in Egypt of old, when that death angel comes by, he's going to pass right over us. And he's going to say, that one's got the blood. That one's got the blood. She's got the blood. He's got the blood. He's got the blood. She's got the blood. And that judgment's going to pass right over us. How do I know that? How do you know that, preacher? Because I've got a little glimpse through the window called the Word of God. So today I want you to judge yourself. I'm not judging you. Judge yourself. Are you saved? Have you ever received Jesus as your Savior? I'm not saying are you good enough. I'm saying are you saved? Nobody's good enough.
That's right.
Are you right with God? Are you a faithful servant? Judge yourself. Are you looking forward to seeing it all? Let's stand. Father, thank you for your inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God. Lord, thank you for letting us get a glimpse through these pages. Thank you for letting us just get a little glimpse of heaven. Just a little glimpse of the risen Savior. Just a little glimpse of the blessings that come from being a believer. Thank you for opening those windows. And thank you that one day, God, you're going to open the door. And you're going to come through it back down here. And then you're going to open up all of heaven. And we're going to see it in all its glory. Lord, until then, help us, Lord. We're needy people down here. We're in a Christian country, and it's the most corrupt country on planet Earth. God, we're in a Christian country, and there's more drugs and alcohol and people dying from that than there are viruses. God, there's people dying every day from drug doses, overdoses. Nobody's counting them. Nobody's putting them in the paper. There's people dying from sin, that virus called sin. Nobody's putting those numbers in the paper. God, help us get as scared of sin and death and hell in the grave as we are of some virus. And I don't want to see nobody sick, but I more greatly don't want to see anybody go to hell. Help us, Lord. If you're not saved today, you'll come on down here. I'll pray with you. If you are saved and the Lord spoke to you, gave you a little glimpse of something, the altar's open. It's clean. We've sprayed it. But whatever you need, we're going to sing this, then we're going to be dismissed. Come on.